Okay, now, kids, normally you kids get dismissed to Sunday school about this time, but Sunday school is going to be here this morning, so I'd like all the kids that would normally go to school, any kids that would like to, please come up here and sit up here. So while I'm making the rest of the announcements, you kids can come up here. So parents, kick them out of their seats and have them come up here. While the kids are coming up here, would you please look in your bulletins? There are a couple of announcements I need to clarify. Helpers are needed with preparing crafts and things. You'll see that. Tammy Hobson is your contact person. We're having a night of worship and prayer September 11th. We will be building. If you go to the movie War Room, it'll make September 11th much more meaningful for you, because it'll give us an opportunity to practice some of the stirring that the Holy Spirit is doing within us. The quilt show, the ladies' Bible study, on the back, the first announcement on the back, we no longer need a reader board changer person because Kevin Koppel has volunteered to do that, and if anybody wants to help him, I'm sure he could take that. And then Mexico Mission. So those are pertinent announcements. Now, last week, we ended with an assignment, a homework assignment. Does anyone remember what the homework assignment was? Does any kid, you weren't even here, were you? You kids didn't get the homework assignment. Okay, so do any adults know what the homework assignment was? This is why I'm such an excellent teacher. The question was, how have you learned Christ? How have you learned Christ? To ponder that. Well, now this week, very interesting, this week's read, we go from Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. It's amazing stuff. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Israel was failing. And everything that was happening to Israel, some of which was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, but just through the eyes of the prophet, he's just out there looking at what's happening in the world, and it was crummy. What was going on in the planet was terrible stuff. And it made him sad. It made him what we call weep or cry because of the choices that his very own people were making. So it's just like if you see one of your friends make a bad decision, that makes you sad, right? Because you hate to see your friends failing in any way. We get to the book of Lamentations. I cannot improve upon this little summary, so just follow with me while I read a summary from Lamentations. Lamentations is not just the record of a dark period in history. Are we in a dark period of history? But it also faces head on some of the most difficult issues that God's people must ever consider. For example, how, kids, have you ever thought of this? How can a loving God allow people to suffer? Have you ever wondered about that? How can a sovereign God, what's the word sovereign mean? What's sovereign mean? King? Ruler? Supreme being? How can a sovereign God let other nations oppress his own? How can pain and utter loss be reconciled with God's mercy, righteousness, and justice? How can this be? Echoing through these dark moments is the voice of hope. For the Lord is using these harsh measures to bring his wayward people back to him. From the dust of destruction comes the rebuilding of the nation and the hope of his redeeming love. God's anger may not last forever, but his faithfulness to his covenant promises will. For those who put their trust in God, every day is an opportunity to experience his love and mercy. Now, think of this for a minute. How are things today? How are they any different, really, from what was... I know the tribes are named different things. We speak different languages, and politics is a bit different. But are the behaviors of men any different? Is there any hope? See, do we believe what we say we believe? We say we believe that there's hope. Is there hope for us? I don't know, church, if there's any hope for America. I don't know. But I know there's hope for Robert Heine. Now, I'm hoping this will make some sense. Do you kids know that in your body, you have these things called organs, right? Like one organ is the heart, right? Can you think of another organ? What? Liver. We know about the heart and the liver. Any other organs? Lungs. Wow, there's an organ. So the body's made up of these organs. And these organs are all very important, yes? They're very vital because you take out the lungs and you're gone. Right? Take away the heart. So organs are important. But there's another organ that you don't hear the doctors ever talk about. And I'm going to talk about it this morning. It's an organ that you never pay much attention to, but it's always working if you let it work. Have you ever heard of the imaginator? Huh? The in you is a thing called the imaginator. Did you know you had an imaginator? You did? What does an imaginator do?
Think.
Imaginator. Imagines. You should get gummy bears or whatever we were handing out. You would get them. The imaginator helps you imagine. Oh, but now, you know how I am. I got to ask you now the next question. What does it mean to imagine? To dream. But you have all kinds of dreams. So what would an imaginating dream be? Did you say think? What's an imagine?
Thinking about food.
You know me too well. Oh, keep going. Thinking about something that's not there, but you can kind of make it up in your head and, oh, good.
Thinking about something that, like you said, may not be there or may not happen or be true.
So the imaginator, we all agree we got him? We got an imaginator. How many of you think your imaginator is working? In kids... kids usually have very active imaginators. It's you old people that, you know, stifle the imaginators. The world, the flesh, and the devil come along and plug up the whatever makes the imaginator work. I'll give you the scholarly definition of imagine. Tell me if this is anything like what we heard. To form a mental image of something not present to the senses. Yeah, like last night at 2:53 in the morning, our smoke alarm went off. And if you've got one like I've got, it's about 8 trillion decibels. You don't wake up like, oh... you explode out of bed because your smoke alarm went off. And you're not really fit to go running out through the neighborhood. And about 10 seconds, which seems like an eternity of that thing going, then it went off. Well, of course... Carol and I are roaming through the entire house. We're smelling. We want to know where the fire is. We want to know what's caused the problem. Our imaginators went crazy. But there was no smoke. There was no fire. We imagined a whole lot of things. And then we laid there for hours. You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult to go back to sleep when you think your house is about to burn down. To form a mental image of something not present to the senses. In other words, it means to believe. To imagine something is very much to believe something. So, for you young folks today, I would like your imaginators to go to work. And I'm going to help you explode or turn on or ignite or however it is. I'm going to help your imaginator get going. Is that good? Can I do that? And it may work for the old people, but I know it'll work for the young people. Because what a story does, a story creates those mental thoughts and images, yes? If you read in a story about the blue ocean, you start thinking about waves, yeah? Yeah? If you read in the story about the red hot fire, what's going on in your mind? You're thinking of coals and the fireplace and stuff like that. What? Or the Red Sea? It's in the Bible. That's absolutely correct. The Red Sea is in the Bible. So, you ready for your imaginator to go off? So, you old folks, you can follow along with me if you want. The story hour is mainly for the kids, but if your imaginators can work, that'd be just as good. The word of God came to this guy named Ezekiel. And here was what came to Ezekiel. You ready? I looked up and I saw a ferocious and stormy wind coming from the north. A monstrous cloud filled with a constant dance of lightning, surrounded by a glowing, all-encompassing light. At the center of the light flashes something that looked like gleaming metal. Any imaginating going on? I got this light, this gleaming metal, and within that light was an otherworldly scene. What looked like four living creatures. Four living creatures in the middle of this otherworldly ball of light. The creatures had a form that resembled humans, but they each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight like the pillars of a temple, and their feet looked like the hoods of a calf and shimmered in the firelight and polished bronze. They had human hands on all four sides under each wing. And their wings touched one another, and as they moved, they did not turn to the right or the left. They all went straight ahead. Now, each of the four creatures had four faces. A human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right, the face of an ox on the left, and the face of an eagle in the back. Is your imaginator working?
Yes.
Are you seeing anything in your head yet? The features of their faces were similar. Two of the creature's wings stretched upward, and one wing on each side of each creature was touching the wing of the creature on either side. So kind of reach out and touch each other. Touch each other. Reach out. Old people, reach out. Touch each other. So your wings are winging it. The other side, the two wings of each. All of the living creatures went straight ahead wherever the Spirit directed them, and the creatures moved without turning to the right or the left. Now, the living creatures had an appearance of something that looked like burning charcoal. Burning charcoal. What would that look like? What would burn? Yes? Fire coals, like red hot coals maybe? The living creatures looked like burning charcoal. Untamed ribbons of fire darted back and forth among them. It was all very bright, and lightning bolted out of the glowing fire. The living creatures ran back and forth like flashes of lightning. So we got these creatures with these wings in the hands, and we got the lightning not coming down, but the lightning going up, and we got the ball of light, and we got them moving and whirling. I mean, this is an imaginator working. As I observed the creatures with their four faces, I saw a wheel on the ground next to them. Do you know what a wheel looks like? Can you imagine a wheel on the ground in front of the creatures? Now, the wheels glittered like sun-kissed jewels. All four wheels looked exactly alike, each appearing to have another wheel inside the wheel. Now, as the wheels moved, they were able to go in the four directions. Four directions, the wheels could move. They rolled straight ahead, never swerving off to the side, and the rims of the four wheels were tall, filled with eyes. The wheels, and the wheel within the wheel, was all filled with eyes. Imaginating working? Wheels filled with eyes? The wheels went wherever the living creatures went. While the living creatures moved, the wheels stayed right beside them. And while the living creatures rose up from the ground, the wheels rose up with them. And the living creatures went wherever the Spirit directed, and the wheels stayed right beside them. For the Spirit of the creatures directed the wheels. Now, when the creatures moved, so did the wheels. When the creatures rose up, so did the wheels. Because the Spirit of the four living creatures was in the wheels. Now, suspended above the living creatures was something like a broad expanse. Pew, pew, broad expanse. It had an awesome gleam, like a crystal ceiling. It was stretched over them. And beneath the expanse, the creatures stretched out their wings to each other, and each creature had another pair of wings it used to cover both sides of its body. Now, whenever the creatures moved, I heard the violent fluttering of their wings, like the sound of an army besieging a city. That'd be more than... That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? What would an army sound like besieging a city? Powerful, huh? Whenever the creature stopped, they lowered their wings to their sides, and as they stood silent with their wings lowered, a thunderous voice sounded high above the expanse over their heads. And above that expanse, over their heads, was something that looked like a throne made of sapphire. Wow. Sitting on that throne, high above the earth, was a human-like figure. From his waist up, I saw that he looked to be like glowing metal surrounded by an all-encompassing fire. And below his waist, I looked and saw something like a blazing fire. A glorious radiance was all around him. The glorious radiance resembled a rainbow that lights up the clouds on a rainy day. This was nothing less than the glory of the eternal that appeared to me. When I saw the vision of God in his glory, I fell upon my face and heard a voice speaking to me. Has your imaginator worked at all yet? There's an old, talk about camp songs. There's an old song. Ezekiel saw him standing in the middle of a wheel. John wrote about him in the book of seven seals. They call him the Rose of Sharon. They call him the Lily of the Field. But I call him Jesus. He's my rock. He's my rock. He's my rock. Talk about Jesus, he's my rock. Talk about Jesus, he's my rock. And I know he walks beside me. And I know he lives within me. He's my rock, he's my rock, he's my rock. Can you see him this morning? Can you see Jesus? Huh? Is your imaginator working? Huh? It is? What are you seeing? See God? Yeah, this is the Bible. This is that book that we get to read and ignite our imaginators. This is not some old dry book of law. This is the most exciting, most powerful, most imaginating, lighting up story that could ever be written. It talks about wind and fire and people moving without having to move. It talks about every incomprehensible dream. Talk about dreaming impossible dreams. This is the kind of dreams we want, huh? And you know what you and I get to do? When we hear these stories, you know what we get to do? How about if you told somebody else this story? What would that be like? Do you think you could do that? I mean, if somebody said to you, oh, do you go to church? You say, oh, yeah, I go to church. And they say, well, where do you go to church? Oh, well, I go to Dayspring. And they said, well, they go here and you go there. And then they say, well, what do you do there? And you say, what? We go to Sunday school, yeah. And what happens in Sunday school?
We learn about God.
We learn about God. Boy, you're getting gummy bears. You're almost up to a Hershey bar. So, Dayspring, what say you? The destruction that the people suffered was because of sin. And the greatest sin was what? Was the greatest sin adultery? Was the greatest sin illicit marriage?
Idolatry.
And what is idolatry? The greatest sin is rejecting God and putting the majority of your faith, hope, belief, attention, action, activity, and life in something else. And we have a God that loves us so much, that wants to spend time with us, that when we kind of tell him he's on pause while we go do what we want to go do, this, I think, causes him to think, Skip has put me on pause. What must I do to get Skip back to me? And we'll call that the experiences of life. Because God has put us here for the whole purpose of getting back to him. And that's why he sent us Jesus. So that we could be free enough to do that. And not all bound up in sin and the inability to get back to him. How many would agree that our lives are spared in Christ Jesus? How many would agree that our victory is won in Christ Jesus? How many would think that our healing is realized in Christ Jesus? How about our deliverance is sure in Christ Jesus? Our provision is plentiful in Christ Jesus. Our strength is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. That's the end of my notes. Anita, you're right. This is a Sunday to be happy, to be hopeful, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, and folks, to scrape away the cataracts that clog our vision, that the world puts there to fog us up, and to start seeing clearly and to let the imaginators work. Next time you go to the doctor, tell him you got a good, healthy imaginator. Sometimes your parents will say, oh, that's Skip. Boy, does he have an imagination. Do kids play anymore? Do kids make up stuff anymore? Or do kids just look at electronic things? No. You actually can go out and play, and you can create things out of nothing, and you can take a pile of dirt and get lost in a spaceship. Yeah. How are you old folks doing? So, you know, the kids are alive and well, dear ones. Their imaginators are working. They're doing fine. They hear that Jesus loves them, and they walk out saying, Jesus loves me. And how are we mature ones doing? One thing that might help us is if we try to tell other people the story. So, Lord, we give you thanks today. Thank you for reviving our hope. Thank you for stimulating our imaginators, oh God. Thank you for helping us to see what our senses don't see, but what we see by the Spirit. We may not be able to smell you, touch you, feel you, oh God, but we know in our knowers, oh God, that you are there with us. So thank you, oh God. Bless these people today. Bless our fellowship. Bless our going out and our coming in. Oh God, bless our week as we seek to draw closer to you. We give you these thanks in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you, church. I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. Next week is Labor Day weekend. I'll be up in the mountains with my family. But Mark Dugan is going to bring you an exceptional message next Sunday. So we'll see you next week. You're dismissed. Yeah.